We've been talking a lot about prayer, and the premise on which we've been talking about prayer is that it's a way of enhancing our spiritual growth. It's also true, excuse me. It's also true that I don't pray as much as I should, and because of that, my spiritual growth is stunted in many ways. So tonight I want to begin at least to talk about some of the excuses that I have made in my own life for not praying as I should. And it may be that you will think of other excuses that we can include here, but I do want to talk about the reasons. Well, I call them reasons. In reality, they're just excuses for my prayer life not being what it should be. And the first one is, I'm just too busy. At the end of a busy day, most of us want to relax. And if you're like me, you probably sit down and turn on the TV. And sometimes I watch sports, especially during March Madness, and I get real excited about watching basketball. If it's not during March Madness, my guilty pleasure at night is watching Blue Bloods reruns. Kim hates that show. She says police don't talk like that, and she was around a lot of police. And my response always is, yeah, but I wish they did. I wish that they thought about things like that. But at the end of the day, I've put in 8 or 10 hours or 12 hours working on putting together sermons and discussions, and I'm tired. And I have a feeling that most of us are like that. We work hard all day, 8 hours, 10 hours. I can't imagine working a 12-hour shift like Ted and Nolan do sometimes. I just can't imagine how tired you would be. Now, Dean puts in way more than 12 hours, and his is a real physical, demanding, physically kind of job. So where does prayer belong in our day? How would we go about doing something that would help us be able to pray and not yet?
I think, a huge lesson from Fiddler on the Roof, when you just walk and talk to God, just any time you feel something. It doesn't have to be in a formula. Talking to God is prayer. He's listening to you. He understands your heart and your feelings. And it's sincere.
Okay. Good point. So don't relegate it to a time when you can spend time in an organized way. Just make it more spontaneous. There's some value to that.
We should at least have three prayers a day for our breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that much. But, and like he said, in between, if you just happen to think a thing and you want to talk to God, then do that, because it's easy to talk to him. He's listening and waiting for you.
Right. And good point. Now, you sound like my mom. I'm supposed to eat three square meals a day. I only eat once. Kim will testify, I eat once at dinner. And the rest of the time, I don't eat. My cardiologist yells at me for doing that. How else do we prevent this from happening? Yeah, Lee.
Start your day with prayer when your head is still on the pillow. And go into detail of all the things that you think you need to be talking to God about before your feet hit the floor.
Good. That's a good point. Don't put it off to the end of the day when you're tired. Start the day that way. I think it was Martin Luther who said, I have so much to do today, I shall have to spend 6 hours in prayer before I get started. And there's a lot of value in that. Like you say, start the day with prayer. Yeah.
I'm really shamed and humbled by Jesus's example, where he is with the crowds and he's healing all day and he's spent, and he several times tells the disciples, I need to go away from the crowds and pray and be with my Father. I'm very humbled with people who can do that, but I'm always reminded that if I'm in need, I know to go to him. That much I can do, but just every time I'm just humbled. I just don't do it.
Yeah. As much as I can. And I feel for especially people with babies, because you just can't find a way to carve out any time. Babies don't give you any time by, you don't go to the bathroom by yourself, you know, when you have babies. They are always there. And so I feel for people who are trying to manage those kinds of demands. And I feel for people like Nicole, who was caring for Devin 24/7. It's not like you say, okay, I'll work 8 hours and then I'll have some time to myself. It's really hard. Yeah.
Well, it might seem funny at first. It doesn't matter to God whether you're dressed, well-dressed, or naked. When I first talked to God and I didn't have any clothes on, I felt a little funny about it. But he knew us. He made us that way.
Oh, that's true.
That's what God sees. We don't have any clothes on. He sees everything about us.
That's true. The spontaneity, the aspect of prayer is something that
we have to be dressed in a certain way, be respectful and say a prayer.
Right. Right. Karen, did you have your hand up? No. Ron.
I didn't mean to put on the hand. You know, Matthew, Jesus gave us a model prayer. And he told us how we should pray. So it doesn't have to be long. When you pray, it can just in your mind and say, Father, forgive me. And then you know, that's all I see.
Okay. Yeah, Mark.
It would be a prayer, it would be really short, but I find so many times throughout the day, I just say thank you. And that's a pretty short prayer. It's what comes to my mind many times.
Yeah, but point taken. Back to the spontaneous kind of prayer. And expressive. You know, we don't have to gather up all of the things that happen during the day to wait when we can have one prayer to talk to God about those things. Yeah, Carol.
I think about all the things that we can be thankful for. We put such an emphasis on praying before you eat, but every breath you take, and I'm reminded sometimes when somebody's got pneumonia and having trouble breathing or whatever, or you see somebody struggling with something else, it reminds you that God has given you that gift too. And so I think if you just keep yourself open to seeing that he's providing that gift to you.
Yeah. Yeah. We lead awfully busy lives. And there might be some value in looking at our life and saying, you know, I probably don't need to be this busy. I can scale back. And I think about Martha and Mary and Luke 10. That's a passage that we've all read, we've all looked at, we've thought about it. And yeah, sometimes we let our lives get too busy. It's easy to overschedule, especially when you have kids. I mean, I remember when my kids were growing up, driving them to from one sports practice to another sports practice in the van. They're changing clothes in the back of the van so they can have the right uniform on for whatever sport they're going to. And they would sit in the stands and do their homework in the stands. You know, sometimes you need to back off. And that's a lesson I need to learn as much as anybody. Sometimes we, like somebody was mentioning, how Jesus at times, after spending a day healing people, said, I need to go talk to my Father. And sometimes we need to be able to say to people, no, I can't do that. But we don't. Yeah.
But often I go to church, I thank the Lord for the green light, I get there on time. And I keep my eyes open.
Yeah, and you know, Brittany made a point. We were talking about life as a part of a church, and she said sometimes we get so busy that we forget to be really engaged with people because we're busy. We're going to this and we're going to that and we're going to do this, and we forget to be engaged with people. There's value there. Yeah, Margaret, somebody had their hand up over there.
I was just thinking that we certainly need to be thoughtful in our prayer, but I'm thinking to my parents that we give praise before every meal. And it was the same thing, God is great, God is good, but they established a pattern for us.
That,
of course, the prayer changes. We got a whole
Yes. Yes, but having a pattern. And before you go to bed, saying your prayers together. That there's wonderful importance to having a pattern to keep you from being so busy that you neglect it. And, you know, I was impressed as I was putting this together. I read through 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Does anybody remember what this particular passage is about? 1 Corinthians 7, 4 through 5. Somebody want to read that?
The wife does not have authority over her own body, is that right?
Yeah.
But the husband does. Likewise, also, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
There's a lot in that passage. There is a time to perhaps look at your marriage and say, we need to separate for a time because I have to give myself to prayer. And it speaks to the wonderful importance of prayer. Yeah.
I'm thinking again more with Jesus and him going to pray. And it's not just so he could communicate with God, but he said that God has the living water and he has food that you do not know of. And he would go and nourish his soul with God. and commune, not only commune, but nourish your soul. And I think when you talk about this separation between the husband and wife, that a person says that I need to pray about this. I need things that I need to change, or we need to change. I need to help her. He needs to help me. And that nourishment that comes from prayer is what you're asking for.
Yeah. Yeah. So it illustrates just how important prayer is and how we can get too busy in our lives. You know, he there in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, an unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord. Married woman cares for the things of her husband. Okay. Sometimes you need to step back and say, I'm just too busy. And I'm not good at doing that. I think I get busy and my response is I need to get up earlier, stay up later. Yeah, Vicki.
I guess I'm finding it really hard to understand how somebody can be so busy they don't have time to pray. And I feel like that can very easily carry over. I'm too busy, I don't have time to go to church. I'm too busy, I don't have time to do Bible class. I am not a prayerful person. Anybody knows that here. But it's not because I'm busy. It's just not one of my strengths. Does it need to be? Absolutely. Do I need to do better? Absolutely. If not, because I'm too busy. I don't think anybody
is
too busy to pray. And I think it's just a prayer. It's not a reason. It's not a good reason. It's an excuse. And you can use an excuse for anything if you want to. If you choose to use that as an excuse, use it. I think it's a bad one. But I think it sounds terrible to say I'm too busy.
Yeah, that's, and I'm freely admitting these are excuses. They're not reasons. Yeah.
When you're on your way, bring the call.
Yeah.
I mean, there really is no place. You don't have any place to be. So, when we wake up every morning, I think it's very important to be thankful for giving us another day.
Yeah, the notion of spontaneity is important. There's no question. Yeah, Margaret.
I think when you're really busy at the end of the day, you don't feel any satisfaction or relief from that day. If you allocate your time so that you spend time with God in that day, when the day ends, you're going to look back with a satisfied mood.
Good point. Good point. So, we do get too busy, and maybe we're too busy in total. I can't answer that for anybody, but I have made this excuse. I'm too busy. You know, I get home, I sit down in the chair and I fall asleep because I'm just exhausted from the day. So, let's go on. Sometimes I have to admit, I feel spiritually burned out. I'm just tired. And I don't feel like praying. You know, we all go through times when we're spiritually in the doldrums. Tremendous discouragement. It can be stress. It can be depression. It can be periods when our faith is particularly weak. Sometimes it's just a feeling of general emptiness. But we are not going to go through our lives always up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Sometimes we're going to come down in the valley. And we feel like I'm not up on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's past. I'm spiritually wrung out. And I think this is something that I think elders feel this often. You get spiritually burned out. Sometimes you, in the position of being an elder, you deal with awful things that happen. And you deal with people who are spiritually very weak. And because of that, you can get depressed. And it's a very real thing. You get burned out. That's what they call it when they talk about teachers and they talk about preachers. And I've read a lot of stuff about preacher burnout and those kinds of things and leadership burnout. And no doubt you feel that way sometimes when you're going to school, you know, after the elation of getting in. And then classes start, and about 6 weeks in, you're just dog tired. There is no thrill to it anymore. Yeah.
Moses and Elijah both prayed to die. They had reached beyond that point. They were burned out on life.
Okay.
They felt like there was no hope. There was no bodies. Take me now. It's not a new phenomenon. You know, and by itself, it gives you something to pray about.
Yeah. Yeah. But this can be an excuse. We're just spiritually burned out. Yeah.
Look for a scripture that helps you during that time period. Maybe you can't do a prayer, but maybe you have a scripture that you're working on. One that reminded me here is that God makes good, we read it earlier today, when it makes good for those who believe out of whatever happens. And Lee and I were talking this afternoon, agape is doing what's best for somebody else. And if you think about God's love in that way, so when you don't know what to pray, you don't know where to go, just ask for God's love in your life. And know that his word is faithful. And I think if you take time, maybe you can't do it when you're totally stressed or depressed, but as you know that that's a problem, then you can go to somebody and talk to them. You can go to the scriptures, ask them if they have a scripture for this, and it will help you with your prayer, because it does the same thing that you do with a little kid. It does that rope thing, and it helps you, the word of God helps you go get through that short period where it lifts you to where you can continue.
Okay. Yeah, Margaret?
God has given us each other, and I think we don't use that resource as often as we should. And I think of our sister Carolyn. She is such an example for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I read one man who said he was an elder, and he was explaining why he thought that it was a wonderful blessing that there were multiple elders. He said, sometimes I'm just tired. I'm beaten down. I'm spiritually in the dumps, and I need to go find one of the other elders and say, I'm really tired of standing out in front and letting everybody beat on me. Can I sit down in your shadow for a while? I just need to rest in your shade. And there's undeniably, there is a wonderful blessing in that. And when we're feeling this way, that's when we need prayer most. But we're not likely, I am not likely, to turn there. I get spiritually beaten down.
think that Carolyn this morning, one of the things that she does is she identifies that the darts are coming from Satan. He's not going to win. And she's turning it over to God. And she's saying, Satan, get behind me. And I think such a lesson she has given us today. It's just coming.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sure that Carolyn has those times when she is feeling spiritually burned out, but there's something about her. She manages to keep the fire burning. And like Nolan said at lunch, she needs a break. She just hasn't caught a break ever since I've known her.
You know, I think we have the time and the energy for what we value. When God said, be still and know that I am God, he placed value on quietness and stillness. And we've already made the observation that Jesus valued his moments of retreat, when sometimes he had to retreat. Sometimes I think in our culture, we start to value the busyness. In fact, I call it the tyranny of the urgent. We almost thrive on the urgency of everything around us, that it becomes tyrannical. And it becomes to a point where we start to feel like we're out of control, when in reality, it's within our control. And we need to understand that silence and retreat is a spiritual discipline. When was the last time you just went out for a walk by yourself in the woods and sat down next to a stream and just meditated and just thought about your relationship with God? There's so much value in that, but we tend to think, well, I'm being lazy, or I took a day off, or, you know, boy, people won't understand if I don't return all their phone calls, or I don't check my emails constantly, or I don't. And that's another thing I learned when I was working, is one thing that we really tried to stress is don't check your email. Every time that little bell rings, you don't go run into your email. You check your email twice a day, period. Twice a day. You respond, and then you move on and do other things. Because the phone calls are the same way. You don't have to answer a call just because somebody calls you. Same with text messaging. Those can be scheduled into your day. So whatever we value, we make time for what we value. We make energy and our effort for what we value. And I think what we need to do is start valuing, and this has made a huge difference in my life, value my time in retreat, my silence with God, and just my time with God and nobody else. And I think that once we switch our brains into thinking that it's not being lazy, it's a spiritual discipline. We grow stronger. We think we have to be busy in order to be productive. And that is Satan giving us the wrong information and us buying into it, because in our culture, you have to be busy. You have to be productive. And I think we have bought into that fallacy. It's wrongheadedness. And I think sometimes we just have to stop and understand that silence is a spiritual discipline that we have to practice.
Good point.
I call that my remember that we're on a pilgrimage. We're just going through here. Our goal is heaven. If I can remember that, I can do much better.
Good point, Kelly. So I guess for me, part of the solution to being spiritually burned out is to go find somebody who's not and say, I need to sit down in your shadow for a little bit. So let's look at Luke 11. Verse 5 beginning, he said, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Is that spiritual burnout? I tell you, though he'll not get up and give him anything because of his friend, because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And we think of impudence as being a real negative, and sometimes it's not. The woman who prayed to the unjust judge over and over and over again, and the unjust judge said, finally, you're just wearing me out. There's a lot of value in realizing those things. As is usually the case, we are swiftly running out of time, and I don't know. I want to save this one. So just think about this a little bit. Sometimes we don't pray because we don't feel like we need it. That happens to me. I don't pray because I don't feel like I need it. And we'll take up with our discussion of this next week, because I'm just sure that this is going to generate more discussion than we have time for, and I don't want to short circuit it. So let's think about this week, and we'll come back next week and we'll be able to talk about this a little bit more. Yeah.
One thing I think sometimes people feel like they have to do a great big long-winded prayer. They have to remember everybody. They can't forget anybody. And I think Margaret's, when she says, I just stop and say thank you. You just stop and you catch yourself doing something or saying, thinking something in your head, just saying, I'm sorry, God. And so just little inserts through the day rather than great big long meals that, you know, with prayers of God, it keeps you in touch with Him, keeps you in balance.
Okay. Good point. Good point. Yeah, Faye.
It helps to remember that when you're outside or doing something, all that He made all that. And that to get your mind back. Another thing is, I find that the Psalms are very, that's a great thing, just to read and meditate. Get yourself back on track. There's some Psalms that are very moving. They hit the nail on the
head. Yeah, John.
It seems like David was really keenly aware of God's presence. He recognized that he was there. If that makes a big difference.
True. True. Okay. Keep thinking about this, and next week we'll talk about. Sometimes avoiding prayer because we just don't think we need it. And that one's a little troubling.